Hare Krishna. My sincere gratitude to all of you for your very kind welcome upon me. My special gratitude to my dear god sister, Kusha Devi Mataji, who has descended from Prabhupada's lotus feet to be with us. She is the wife of Shutakirti Prabhu, who was the longest acting personal servant of our beloved Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. Just a few days ago, I was in Russia and Ukraine, and devotees were telling there was a festival, Odessa, that is on the Black Sea. And about 1,500 devotees attended that festival in Ukraine. So many leaders came from all over the world to speak there. Biggest assembly of leaders of our society come to this festival in any other place except maybe Mayapur during Gaur Purnima. And there was 4 seminars going on simultaneously. But Shutakirti Prabhu came, and every one of the leaders refused to speak at the same time as his seminar because they all wanted to attend and hear the glories of Srila Prabhupada from someone who speaks with such intimate love and realization. And Kusha Mataji in her own right is a great hero. One of the most difficult temples in the history of ISKCON is Hawaii. That is Honolulu, Hawaii. It has gone through tragedies, scandals, corruptions, so many problems over the years. And really nobody wanted to try to lead that project. But on the request of Vaishnavas, the leaders of our society, Kusha Mataji agreed to be the acting temple president of Honolulu, Hawaii. And she's actually unifying all diverse ideologies and diverse groups and bringing sanctity and inspiration to this important project in which Srila Prabhupada personally spent very, very much time translating his books and preaching. And Kusha Mataji and Shutakirti Prabhu are the ministers for the Grihastha Ashram for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Let us very enthusiastically welcome her to Sri Radha Gopinath. This welcome is actually for you, Mataji. Somehow I'm just an instrument. Thank you. I'm very grateful to be back. This is the longest I have been away from Sri Radha Gopinath Temple since 1987, when we first began the project here. About 6 months. I'm so happy to see the beauty of the temple as it is being renovated. But the real beauty of the temple is the shining hearts of the Vaishnavas. When Srila Prabhupada came to New Vrindavan in 1976, the devotees were building a house for him. It was called Prabhupada's Palace. At that time, it was a construction site. Mostly it was just the concrete shell, and they were just beginning to begin the interior. And Prabhupada was taking a tour with many of the leaders of ISKCON. He was walking through the construction site, and they came into the main room, which later became the temple room. And one devotee said, "Srila Prabhupada, we read in Srimad Bhagavatam that the palaces in Vaikuntha are lit by jewels. There's no need for sun or electricity or moon. Everything is lit with jewels. So will your palace be lit by jewels?" Srila Prabhupada replied, "My devotees are my jewels, and they will light the entire world." There is no more precious jewel than bhakti. It is the purushartha shiromani. It is the crest jewel of all goals of life. Devotion, love for Krishna. That jewel of love, that treasure of love, premnidhi, is revealed in this world through the hearts of the Vaishnavas. And whatever arrangements we make in temples to make them nice, comfortable, beautiful, is really to create a beautiful setting for people to come and associate with Vaishnavas and learn how to love the deity, learn how to serve the deity, learn how to purify their hearts through the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
I see in the pathway of my eyes vision a wonderful, wonderful treasure house of sincere servants of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his last message to his disciples and followers, which include us, he wasn't only speaking to his immediate disciples at that time and place, but he was speaking to all of his followers for all times. That we should have only one aspiration, one ambition in our lives, to be the dust at the feet of Sri Rupa and Raghunath. Dust of the feet, Srila Prabhupada, means taking the role of a very humble servant. It is the service attitude that attracts Krishna to attract us away from the sources of misery, of material entrapment, and into the realm of his loving service. I was recently meditating on the song Gopinath of Sri Thakur Bhaktivinoda. And I had a very special meditation. Gopinath is the Prayojanamurti of our Sampradaya. There is Madan Mohan, who is Sambandha Murti. Through worshipping him, we establish our relationship with Krishna, our hearts, and our become attracted to his loving service, and become liberated from the clutches of Kamadev's attractions. Our Abhideya Murti is Sri Radha Govinda Dev. We worship Sri Radha Govinda Dev in active devotional service with very, very deep attachment. And the culmination is Sri Radha Gopinath. Gopinath is Prayojanamurti. He is the Murti that awards ecstatic, unmotivated, unconditional love of God. In the mood of the gopis of Sri Vrindavan Dham. So Thakur Bhakti Vinod wrote this song, Gopinath. He's praying to Lord Gopinath. He's approaching the highest revelation of Sri Braj Bhumi. And what is his mood? The whole song is utter humility. He's just praying helplessly, Gopinath, I'm full of material desires, I'm envious of others, I have no devotion, I'm a demon, I'm an asura, but you're so merciful that you liberate even asuras. He doesn't talk about how great he is. He doesn't ask entrance into the ultimate lila of the Lord. He's simply presenting himself as the most fallen, insignificant, sinful person begging for mercy. That's how he's approaching Gopinath, the Prayojanamurti of our Sampradaya. And that happens to be consistent with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalyor Das 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 Anuras. His only aspiration is to be the servant of the servant of the servant, the Anu, the insignificant atomic particle sized servant of the Lord of the Gopis. Gopi Bhartur and Gopinath essentially mean the same. This is how Mahaprabhu is teaching us to approach the highest lila of the Lord, of Gopinath, through being the servant of the servant of the servant. Lord Chaitanya could have said, Madan Mohan Bhartur, Madan Mohan, Gopi Bhartur, Padakamalayor, Tabakamalayor, Das Das Anudas, Govinda Dev, Padakamalayor, Das Das Anudas. Why didn't he say that? Madan Mohan Padakamalayor Das Das Anudas. Govinda Dev Padakamalayor Das Das Anudas. Madhusudan Padakamalayor Das Das Anudas. Parthasarathi Padakamalayor Das Das Anudas. Poetically, they all would have fit. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Das Das Anudas. This is how to approach the Lord of the Gopis. This is how to approach the conjugal loving affairs of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. By being the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Humble, menial servant of the Lord. wherever there is that service spirit, there is a natural attachment to the chanting of the holy names. Trinadapi sunich turor ibasahishma amanina manadena kirtanya sadaha. Wherever devotees are really in a spirit of servant of the servant of the servant, they feel such natural joy and enthusiasm to come together, not just ritualistically, but devotionally, lovingly, to chant the holy names, to worship the deities, to serve the spiritual masters. Wherever this quality, that is real opulence. The opulence of this world is not very relevant. Recently I was in California. Should I tell you something interesting? I was reflecting upon this. I was doing some preaching with some people I know, Malibu Beach, people from Beverly Hills, Hollywood area. Now the people from these places, they're quite affluent. You have heard of Hollywood? It is a perverted reflection of Bollywood. Bollywood is what they call Bombay. Hollywood, these people, famous, beautiful, gigantic sums of money, beautiful homes, wealthy cars, fame, prestige. These people have all material opulences that people aspire for in this world. So many multi-millionaires with such beautiful bodies, healthy bodies, and they're famous, and they have so many lovers, and so many millions of people worldwide, perhaps billions, want to be like them. Do you know what the fastest growing religion amongst that sector of society is? Would anyone like to guess? Buddhism. Now try to understand, what is the goal of Buddhism? Annihilation of all desires. Annihilation of your identity eternally. Just void your desires, void your identity, void your personality, void the world. Now these are people who all their material desires are just being supplied. Large quantities of sense gratification, both gross and subtle. They have money, they have sex life, they have the finest foods, they have reputation, they have prestige, they have power. But they're not happy. They have everything, but they understand that their desires are putting them in anxiety. Their desires can never be fulfilled, so their goal in life is annihilation of all desires. They don't want to go to the heavenly planets because they're already in some sort of heavenly planet. And they're still frustrated. There's still anxiety. They're still dissatisfied. So just annihilate it all. This says a lot. The people who have the greatest power to fulfill their desires simply want to annihilate their desires. And yet, We are so foolish that we're thinking there can be happiness by fulfilling the mind, the senses, and the ego's desires. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught according to the essence of all knowledge, the system of Achintya Bheda Veda Tattva, that we do not want to annihilate our desires. Why? Only a person who's utterly frustrated wants to commit suicide. Nirvana is a type of permanent suicide. In this world, when we are enjoying and we're frustrated, some people are so frustrated, they suicide of this body, but then they have to take another birth. You can't blanket out for long. Another birth, another birth, another birth. But the voidistic conception is permanent suicide. No more births. No more you. No more anything. Arrivo! Does that sound glorious? It does if you don't understand a higher principle. If you have everything and you're still frustrated, that's a glorious goal in life. Unless we understand that there's something beyond. What is beyond? Mahaprabhu has explained. Savai pung samparo dharamo yato bhaktir bhokcha chaya hoitiki aprati hata yagatma suprasitati. The supreme occupation is that which brings unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving devotion to the Lord. We are eternally servants of the Lord. Our purpose, our goal, is to love. It is the most essential, fundamental need of every living entity to love and to be loved. Without that, nothing in the world can bring us inner peace or fulfillment. It is our nature to love and be loved. And when that propensity is frustrated again and again and again and again, people become mad, people become crazy. Washington, D.C., there's somebody just killing people. He's getting sense gratification out of that. Just the power to take people's lives, the power to create incredible fear in millions of people. He's controlling the entire political capital of the United States and the most powerful political capital in the world. He's controlling it. He has millions of people in fear. That's his sense gratification. So wicked, so terrible, so cruel. How does a pure spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna, come to such a degraded state? Due to frustrated love. When our propensity for love is frustrated, and we start looking in all kinds of alternative directions away from Krishna, and we get frustrated again and again and again, and that causes us to become incriminated and implicated in various modes of nature. What happens to a pure soul, a child of God? There's so many such persons going mad out of frustration. So annihilation is a very, very good alternative. Then there's peace. But to direct our eternal nature, our loving propensity, again toward its original source, Krishna, that is the teaching of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is the teaching of the great acharyas. And that is what Srila Prabhupada has so kindly given to the world. How do we achieve that love? It is not by our efforts. It is by mercy. There has never been and never will be any other way except mercy. And mercy is not attracted by how great you are or how expert you are. It comes by how you please Krishna. And what pleases Krishna? What pleases Krishna is what pleases his beloved consort, Srimati Radharani. And what pleases the supreme goddess of fortune, Sri Radhika. When we give respect and kindness and service to those that they love, the devotees. By showing compassion to the ignorant, by making intimate friendship with our peers, by uplifting those who are newer than us on the path of devotion, by offering respect, submissive service to those who are superior to us. This pleases Krishna. Krishna is pleased by simplicity, by humility, by loyalty and faithfulness, by dedication, not by any material show, not by knowledge, not by wealth, not by power. Krishna is only pleased with these devotional qualities. Wherever these qualities are present in that heart, then Krishna is very, very eager to manifest his mercy through his holy name to that devotee. So this is opulence. This is wealth. Wherever there is the sincere, humble aspiration to serve and to chant Krishna's holy names. This is Srila Prabhupada's message. And with that message, he gave his promise. If we simply live by these simple and sublime teachings, without doubt, Sri Radha Gopinath's mercy flowing incessantly through his heart will bring us back home, back to God. Hare Krishna. But seeing all of you after so long time, I am thinking that I am back home, back to Godhead at this very moment. I thank you very sincerely for the wonderful, wonderful service you are offering. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Bancha kalpa tadubhyas cha kripa sindubhya eva cha potitanam bhavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo ananti koti vaishnav vrinda ki jai.